Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It is Lisa. And as always, I am with the most excellent.
I was just going to see how many superlatives you were going to add.
There aren't enough. Today, we want to talk about summer and also NA drinks, new NA drinks, and just the idea of NA drinks a little more generally, too, to revisit.
Non-alcoholic, so people know.
Oh, yeah, non-alcoholic. NA. Zero yeah. proof. Yeah. What terminology would you consider? What terminology do you prefer? I like zero proof because NA reminds me of Narcotics Anonymous.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I feel like I use them interchangeably, or booze-free.
Yeah, booze-free. Yeah.
Zero yeah. proof is a... Yeah, I think zero proof. I think I like that better.
Right?
Now that I think about it, yeah.
I don't know why. That's always sort of tugged at me.
Well, because it's like, I don't like leading with something that it's not. So to say non-alcoholic, it's
oh,
like-
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Zero proof
is like, it's its own thing.
It is. I like that a lot better. So with summer- I think now we're all like really into, you know, July, getting around the 4th of July. And with it comes, you know, a lot of, I don't know, for me, I feel like I love summer. It's my favorite season, but there's also a lot of expectations around summer and a lot of expectations to go have fun. And in general, in like, big picture world, a lot of that fun revolves around drinking, and it can be a tricky time when you're going to barbecues or you're going, you know, on a vacation mm-hmm. with family, with friends, whoever you're around. You know, I think there are, it's not the same as the holiday season at the end of the year, but it's not entirely different either, because it's this time of celebration where everybody feels like a little bit of extra license to go a little nuts. And that can make some of us uncomfortable. I know it's made me uncomfortable in the past, especially in early recovery when I had just, because I got sober in April of 2004. And then, you know, by the time I got my bearings, it was 4th of July and it was, you know, whoa, okay. Yeah. And my friends were going out to Fire Island, where we always went in the summers. And, you know, Fire Island was where I committed many offenses. And so it was too triggering for me. So I chose to stay home. I was grateful to make that choice, but there was also that feeling of missing out. And, you know, it was a trickier than I had expected it to be. Does that resonate with you at all? Did you have similar experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I feel like with summer, day drinking is just this whole thing of like,
yes, it's
like,
vacation.
Oh, it's like, oh, well, we're getting lunch on a patio. We might as well have margaritas.
Right.
And it's like the weather is nice. Let's have a picnic. Can you pick up a bottle of wine? And it's like, well, these activities can be harmless for some people in early recovery. That that can be like a really, really terrifying experience, or not even just early recovery, just, you know, it can just be difficult depending on what you're going through in your life. You know, there's if everything's going pretty smooth in my life, I could be okay at a bar, or I could be okay at a summer barbecue. But if I'm really stressed or I'm struggling with something, I can't put myself in certain situations because alcohol might smell too good or it might be too tempting.
Yes. Yes. That is a really good point, because it is just one of those things that, you know, I think, like, I know, okay, there's going to be things coming up with Thanksgiving, Christmas, mm-hmm. New Year's, all of that. Like, I know what that is. Sometimes we don't think of things like summers and vacation and that as, you know, a similar time to be vigilant, right? And mm-hmm. no matter how long we've been in recovery, you know, if we are not in a great time frame or space in our head, like you were saying, like if you're going through a lot, if you're whatever, there is just, I think, being sort of aware that there can be this extra sort of, it's just like the volume is turned up a little bit in the summer.
It is. It's turned up to 11, Lisa.
Yes. Yes.
This one goes to 11. If
Why
you don't understand,
you just renumber that dial and make 10 the loudest.
If you're listening,
this one
you don't
goes
know
to 11. What, yeah. Okay. We'll stop. Yeah. Go if watch This know, Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Stop listening to this podcast right now and watch This Is Spinal Tap and then come back, because that's what we talk about it often.
Yes.
But it's also, I think my comfort level at these types of activities is dependent upon, yes, headspace, but also, are there going to be activities for me to do? Like, is the activity literally just sitting around and drinking? Because if that's the activity,
right,
I really don't think I can go to that.
Oh my gosh,
if we're going bowling, if we're playing shuffleboard, if we're like, if there is some sort of like activity, that's also like more enticing for me to do something. And if it's not an activity, if someone, you know, invites me to a barbecue and they're like, hey, we're doing this. Actually, you know, a friend of mine just invited me to a pool party, and she's like, we're going to have beer and I'll make sure to have some non-alcoholic drinks.
Oh my God, that's great.
That meant so much to me that she even thought about it, and she made sure to let me know that she would provide that. So it's like, I think, you know, if you're listening and you're maybe wondering like how you can show up and like be an ally to some of your friends that don't drink, that's how. Provide some activities for your summer event other than sitting around and drinking, or some fun beverage options.
Right. And just, it's also more than the beverage option. It's the fact that your friend is aware mm-hmm. and wants you to know that, you know, wants to make sure that you feel included and comfortable, mm-hmm. that you're not sort of, you know, showing up and her being like, oh, wait, I think I have some Diet Coke in the fridge, you know?
I know. It's funny. Like when I go to events like this, I notice that when there's non-alcoholic options, people will drink them.
Like, oh my gosh. There's 100%.
Like, there's a lot of people that can really just take, like with alcohol, they can take it or leave it. Like if there's only beer in the cooler, they're going to drink beer. But if there's like beer and seltzer, some people are going to drink. And then part of me is like, oh, yay, good for them. They're not drinking. But then the other part of me is like, okay, back off of my seltzer.
Right, right. And particularly I find this in circumstances where it's something fun, right? Like I frequently told the story about the client event we did when I was at Patterson, when I was at my law firm. And we had available for people as you walked in the door. It was a Tuesday night, a very fancy party at the Rainbow Room. And as you walked in the door, you could grab a pomegranate margarita or you could grab a virgin mojito. And we had mm-hmm. them right up front, and just, you know, because you know, I was there. And of course, I was like, you got to have something like, but they flew. And yeah. I had a client say to me that night, like, I'm so glad you guys did this and that you had this option because, you know, I wanted to come to your party and celebrate. And I felt like, okay, I have to have a drink. But to be honest, it's Tuesday night. I wasn't planning on drinking, and I am getting on a train to go do homework with my kid after this. Like, there are more people than we realize who just, if given an appealing, easy option, they're just going to grab it.
Absolutely.
So I think Yeah. I think that's a big deal. And also just having that feeling like it shouldn't be incumbent. And now I'm sounding a little preachy like I do when I talk to law firms, that it shouldn't be incumbent on the people who choose not to drink for any reason to make themselves comfortable. You're having the event. You know that not everybody drinks or is going to perhaps choose to drink that night. Make it comfortable for everybody.
And I mean, like, there's pregnant people that are going to come to this event. There's like
religion.
There might be like religious, exactly, like people under 21. There's lots of
there's not lots of different everybody types of wants people. To drink all the time.
And I'm glad that I think more companies like you're talking about are realizing that and offering options, like going to a lot of places have kombucha now. Even bars have kombucha. Literary events, usually, like, it would just be a bottle of wine and some cheese. Now there's like some sparkling seltzers as well. And it's nice. I like to see that change.
And I have to say, you and I have talked about it. You've said it many times, and it was such a wise thing, which is like, restaurants should have on their menu zero proof options because they're leaving money on the table by not doing that. Right. And it was funny because I was recently in the Caribbean and every restaurant we went to in the Caribbean, every single place had a whole, they called it mocktails or they called it zero proof, but they had the fullest lists I've ever seen and all these great fruit juice mixes and all that stuff.
I love that.
And I realized, I'm like, these people know, like, they know how to get money out of every, you know,
it's true. I went to a restaurant in New York here this weekend. It's called Ha Ha Ha, but it's spelled J-A-J-A-J-A for Spanish. Ha Ha Ha. Anyway, I'm giving them a shout out because I was so impressed with their mocktail menu. They have just a regular cocktail list, but next to the certain cocktails, there was an M next to some of them. And then the M meant can be made into a mocktail. So, my friends had this, it was like a cucumber jalapeno margarita. And we got to have the same drink, but mine just didn't have alcohol.
Oh my gosh.
And I had never experienced that before. And I, you know, I'm still paying full price, you know,
right.
Like, I'm paying. Like, I had two mocktails, spent $18 total on two mocktails. Whereas if you didn't have those, I would have just had water.
Right. So that brings up an interesting thing about this, this idea. So you were sitting there drinking the same thing as your friends, like nobody could know the difference, whatever. I wonder, I had an experience recently that I was visiting one of my best friends and she had prepared, it was funny because I was in town for a couple nights and she wanted me to do tarot readings for a bunch of friends. So she did like this, she has a brick pizza oven outside. Wow. So they were making pizzas and cocktails and tarot reading. That was the event. I read seven people that night. It was crazy. And so she, being the considerate friend that she is, got this thing, one of the big NA or zero proof liquors, like a real substitute for, you know, like a zero proof. It was a zero proof tequila. And I've always said that I had always stayed away from that stuff because I was worried it would be too much like the real thing. for me and trigger me. And so, you know, she was making these, like, she had all this fruit. She's a real, like, foodie, and she was doing this whole concoction with it, and make it into this, like, really good kind of flavored sort of margarita. And I was like, you know what? I'll try it. I'm going to try it, because maybe it really won't taste that way to me. I mean, so many people are, you know, drink it and are able to do it. And I totally support that and give them all the credit. Knock yourself out. It's amazing. But I took one taste and I, like, handed it the glass immediately back to her. I was like, get this away from me. I can't. It is way too close. Like, to me, even though I'm sure it tasted nothing like a real margarita, whatever it was that it triggered in my mouth made it feel like a margarita in my mouth. And I was like, nope. I'm going to go back to the Figlia, because she had Figlia too. The Figlia that I love, that is like a zero proof aperitif. And I think in part because I didn't drink aperitifs when I was drinking.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
exactly what I was going to say. I feel like it's because it's a new flavor for you.
Yes. Yes. So that was, so it reinforced for me that particular zero proof that is really simulating a booze.
Yeah.
Like, I don't drink zero proof beer or wine. But that's just me. It's certainly not something I would say, you know, other people had to follow unless they felt the way I did, and it didn't, you know.
Well, totally. And I think that you raised such a good point of what works for you, whereas you couldn't do the zero proof tequila, but you could do a zero proof aperitif.
Absolutely.
Someone might be the complete opposite. Having these zero proof options are actually a significant tool in my recovery, where I like that, you know, Nick and I, my partner and I, like to make, we'll do tacos and we'll make non-alcoholic margaritas and, you know, salt the rim and we'll go all out. And for us, that is like a really nice thing to do. And like, you know, I've become like an NA beer connoisseur.
Yes.
And it's, like I said, it's a big tool in my recovery. And I think it's because beer was actually like one of the things that I actually could drink in a healthy way. Like one of the places I bartended was at a draft house. It was called Draft House. And we had like 150 beers on tap from all over the world. And I was able to learn about beers and flavor profiles and hops. And I found all of that really interesting, and I could just taste them and enjoy that. Like a same way a sommelier would be with wine.
Right.
So I feel like that this thriving non-alcoholic drink scene is giving that back to me, where I can nerd out on learning about de-alcoholized wine, and I can still try all these really yummy beers because I just like the flavor it doesn't trigger me. It actually helps me. So Guinness just came out with a 0% beer, and Nick and I, we split one last night, and it was so delicious. But I think someone who's like, if Guinness was their drink, they probably couldn't try this. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
But for me, I would, you know, it wasn't really my jam. Like, I only really drank Guinness when I was doing Irish car bombs. Those ridiculous
so
shots.
Bad. Such a bad name for a drink.
It's bad on all fronts.
Like, bad.
That's the only time I drank Guinness. So this was a cool way for us to enjoy it with our dinner last night. But, you know, there's lots of.
Colin has let us know that Dublin Drop is the correct name. Our amazing
name.
Producer, Colin.
Dublin
it's the correct
Drop.
Name to use now instead of Irish Car Bomb.
Okay. Love that. Thank you, Colin.
Yes.
But that was my only Guinness experience. So, but there's, you know, Heineken also has a non-alcoholic
beer. Oh, yeah.
So, but it's like, there's tons of small business that, you know, you and I have formed some relationships with that we can chat about, and I can share some discount codes if anyone wants to try.
Why don't you, go through them, and then we'll put them in the show notes as well. But perfect. For anybody who would like to just grab them while we're talking.
So if you go to my website, tanyalara.com, click on the affiliates page, you'll see all of the brands that I work with a discount code underneath. So I'm just going to read this little list. And if anything is interesting to you, check it out. So Shirley Wine, Shirley, S-U-R-E-L-Y. They have a fabulous de-alcoholized rosé, Sauvignon Blanc, sparkling rosé. It's really delicious wine without alcohol. And I love it. You can buy it in by the bottle and by the can, if you just want like a single serving, which I love. All of my discount codes for all of these is Tawny M. Lara. So it's my Instagram name. And then Crisp and Crude is...
I love Crisp and Crude. That's my favorite.
Crisp and Crude is great. So they have two different versions. They have one version with CBD, one version without. Really yummy flavors. What's your favorite?
The Mellow Mule.
The Mellow Mule is my favorite as well. They have a really nice Paloma. Crisp and Crude is great.
I never drank Moscow Mules.
So like that's why you like it.
Right, that happened way after I got sober. So to me, it was like, oh, this is awesome. And it doesn't remind me of anything I ever drank.
I love that. And I mean, that's why it's so great. I remember one time you were saying that you got sober before the mojito craze. So you never really got to try it.
So I will drink virgin mojitos.
Yeah.
I totally drink virgin mojitos. Not triggering at all to me.
I mean,
I have no drinking memories associated with mojitos.
That makes sense. I mean, and you don't even need the rum. Like, it's so good with the mint and the lime and the sugar and the club soda. It's such a yummy, refreshing drink. Okay, for beer, Well-Being Brewing. They have really yummy. They have like a wheat beer. They have a stout. They have an amber. They have lots of different beers, and they do like a new one every season, I believe. And then have you had Three Spirit? I feel like you've had Three Spirit.
Yeah, I like Three Spirit.
Yeah. So Three Spirit's really good. They are they're botanical extracts. So of all the drinks that we've talked about, Three Spirit stands out because it's not a non-alcoholic version of something you've already tried. It is.
Yes.
It's botanical extracts that they taste really, really good. And it comes in a quote liquor bottle, you know, but you pour it on ice and you drink it. And it's just a really, really nice nightcap. One of their drinks is called Nightcap. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so what you were talking about, the zero proof tequila, that brand is called Ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love their whiskey. I love their,
a lot of people do. It's hugely popular.
It's great. I've like the rum for making a zero proof mojito. Ritual zero proof. And then our girl Katy Perry just came out with speaking of aperitifs, she just came out with a sparkling aperitif line, non-alcoholic, because Katy Perry's not sober, but when she was pregnant, she realized how limited her drinking options were. So she created a drink that she liked when she was pregnant. So she came out with DeSoi, DeSoi. And there's, links to all of these on my website. So, just head to my website. We'll put these in the show notes as well, but, just, you know, if you feel like trying something fun for the summer or anytime, try a couple of these.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And so the other thing that I last wanted to mention before we go into Music Minute is that summer for me, in, when we were talking about triggering kind of like the holiday season, it has that potential for the FOMO also when you see people posting these amazing summer vacations and, you know, where they are and all that stuff. And I just want to reiterate how not reality those things are. I mean, they're a reality in a moment. They capture a moment. They do not capture the full story of, you know, of what's going on in any given situation. And, you know, I think we all kind of know that by knowing people personally in our lives who post like a perfect picture while, you know, there's a lot of difficult stuff as everybody experiences going on behind the scenes. And I think it is a particularly good time in the summer to remember that, you know, it's not all what it appears to be all the time.
It is not. It is not. And it's totally okay to say no to an invitation.
Yes.
It's okay to say yes and then change your mind. It's okay to attend and then leave.
Yeah.
You know, you don't owe anyone anything. And if anyone gives you shit for saying you can't make it,
I don't feel comfortable.
How you don't even have to be that honest. You can just say, I can't make it.
I can't make it. No is the complete sentence.
Yeah. Like all of my friends have experienced, like I've been sober long enough at this point that I've just kind of left some events.
Yeah,
and my friends are like, Tawny just can't, she's done. They know.
My friends do too. I'm like, they make a joke about me because when I was in New York, like before we would even be out of the restaurant, I would have my hand up for a cab.
Like, yep.
You can't get out of here fast enough. Sometimes, yeah, that's true. And that's okay.
And then sometimes I'm like totally okay being at a bar for a couple hours.
Yeah, I still don't hang out in bars, but I think part of that is just because of my age and demographic and all that stuff.
Well, really, the only time I do is if I'm going to a friend's comedy show.
Right. You don't go to bars for the sake of going to bars ever.
No. Or if it's a friend's birthday at a bar or something, I might drop by, but my friends also know Tawny's probably not going to come to this. So
yeah, right. That's how my friends were. And they were fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everybody, you know, as I did from the beginning and as my friends did, like make the effort to just pick ways to be with each other that don't involve that don't make us feel that way.
Yes. Find an activity. Give your sober buddy an activity to do other than just sitting and watching you drink. Because that's not very fun for us.
No. All right. So Music Minute, you mentioned Katy Perry, and Katy Perry is total summer music, would you say?
Oh, of course. Yeah. She's just fun. You know, I went to a Katy Perry concert a couple years ago. This is so weird, Lisa. I don't know if I've told you this. I've never been a huge Katy Perry fan. I've never been anti, but I just didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a concert of hers a couple years ago because I was like, I want to like see why everyone is obsessed with Katy Perry.
I get it. I don't know either. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is fun. She's a performer. She puts on a damn good show. It's just fun, lighthearted music. And I hate to compare because there was this like Lady Gaga versus Katy Perry because they came out around the same time. They're not alike at all.
But you know,
I am 1000% deeply obsessed with Lady Gaga. So I just went that route.
Me too.
But now I'm just like, I don't think I've ever like listened to Katy Perry. Like, I'm like, ooh, let's listen to this song. But if it's on, I'm like, oh yeah, this is fun.
Right. That's how I'd always be like, fine for a song. Like if it comes up.
But I would totally, like, when I went to her concert, I knew every single word to all these songs, you know, because it's hard to escape.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's one of the top artists in the world. Like,
we it's just, amazing.
We she, all know she her songs.
At first, like, wasn't she one the for a while the most followed person on Twitter or something?
Probably.
I think she was.
Probably. Who knows?
Yeah. What other summer music? What do you think about? I love, I know we were just talking about Talking Heads, but I love the Talking Heads song Summertime. It's sort of a deep cut, but it's an extra cut on Sand and the Vaseline, which is their sort of greatest hits compilation, double album that's amazing if you're, you know, new to Talking Heads.
You know what that reminds me of? I recently, you probably know this, but you know, Stone Temple Pilots, what is it? Flies in the Vaseline.
Oh my God, Vaseline, yeah.
Do you know why that song is called that?
No, why?
It's because Scott Weiland thought the Eagles song, Life in the Fast Lane, thought saying flies in the Vaseline.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, I know. Nick just told me that recently. I love little, like,
you know, and
trivia the, like that.
Yeah, that is so funny. I did not know that that was the origin of that.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool. It's, I get, I think, yeah, that makes sense.
I love like, that because we all lyrics. Have those. We've never talked to, I would have to think about mine, but we've all had those songs that we just, you know, automatically have been singing the wrong lyrics all our lives.
Well, you know, there's a word for that.
What is it?
Mondegreen. M-O-N-D-E, green. It is misheard song lyrics.
Oh my gosh. Mondegreen. I wonder how that, okay, the word geeks now. We want to know the etymology of that. Anyway, that's great.
You know, so, you know, I'm a linguistics nerd. I like to know that there's words for everything.
Yes. It's a misread, so misreading of song lyrics.
It's mishearing a phrase.
Oh yeah. Okay. Is,
yeah. It's mishearing like a phrase, but it's very common in lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
The more you know.
That's right. The more you know. Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is awesome. I'm inspired to think about some more summer tunes to be. It's funny because living here in Southern California, I'm very spoiled. It always sort of, it feels like summer. Yeah. So like when it's really summer, I try to do sort of differentiate that. So that's a good thing to do. I think of is think of like a little summer soundtrack. To include Harry Styles.
Well, yeah, obviously every playlist should have Harry Styles. And I was thinking of, I guess this is an end of summer song, but My Sweet Summer by the Dirty Heads. I love the Dirty Heads.
I don't know that song.
You might if you've heard it.
I'll have to listen to it. I'll listen to it. Yeah.
Sweet Summer.
Let us know if you guys have any summer music we should be listening to, because we're always game for suggestions. And until next week, we'll see you later. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, Sobriety Party, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available in bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.